Please take your Bible and open to the Gospel of John, chapter number 16 and verse number 12. The Gospel of John, chapter 16 and verse number 12. For the last many weeks, we have been studying about the Holy Spirit. I've been delivering messages that have to do with the Holy Spirit, the third person in the Trinity. And during this study, we have looked at some of the names or terms referencing the Holy Spirit in the Bible. We've also looked at to whom is the Holy Spirit given. We've looked at the fact that he is a person. We've looked at the fact that he is also deity. And most recently, we looked at some of the types or illustrations of the Holy Spirit that are mentioned in the Bible. In the message that I'm bringing to you this morning, I want to talk to you about ministries of the Holy Spirit to the believer. Ministries of the Holy Spirit to the believer. These are things that the Holy Spirit of God does just for us. Because we are his children, because we belong to God, because we've been born again, because he lives within us. These are things that God does just for us. And I hope that each one of us, as we hear the message today, will enjoy what you're hearing and know that this is God's promise to you. This is what he has given you, this very special person called the Holy Spirit who comes to live within us and he'll never ever leave. And these are things that God has not only promised, but given to each and every one of us. And I know, because I've been saved long enough, I know that these things are true. Not just because the Bible says so, but because I've actually experienced all of these things. And I'm sure as you listen, you'll be able to say the same thing. I've experienced that. God's done that for me. So we'll look at some things together this morning. John chapter 16 and verse number 12 says this, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. And we'll stop reading right there. We're going to start with this passage. That's why I chose this to start with today. And we're going to dissect it here a little bit. But I hope you'll enjoy today's message. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you again for the Spirit of God who is our constant companion because he lives within us. He promised, and it is promised to us in your word, Lord, that he will never ever leave us. But we know that he's at work within all of us. And I'm thankful for that, and I'm sure these folks are as well. I just pray that you'll speak to us now and challenge us concerning these things, comfort us concerning these things, encourage us concerning these things. I'm so very thankful for the Holy Spirit. Bless now as we continue. In Jesus' name, amen. I've enjoyed this study so far. Have you?
Amen.
I hope you have. It's been good and it's been enjoyable to prepare these lessons and these messages and then to deliver them to you. The one today also is very enjoyable for me and I hope it will be for you. The ministries of the Holy Spirit to the believer. The first one we're going to start with is found in this passage, and it is his ministry of teaching. His ministry of teaching. You notice several things here, and if I may, I just want to read through it again. I have yet many things to say unto you. By the way, these are red letter in my Bible, probably in yours as well if you have a red letter edition, which means to us, of course, that Jesus is speaking these words. And I believe he's speaking them to his disciples. And so he's telling them, while he's still with them, while he's still alive, he has not yet ascended up into heaven after the crucifixion and burial and resurrection, of course. He's telling his disciples, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. In other words, I've got lots more to teach you, but now's not the time for it. Verse 13, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, that's a reference to the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. This passage speaks to us about his ministry of teaching, and I want you to know that his ministry of teaching primarily is to teach us spiritual things, to teach us spiritual truth. You notice in this passage, Jesus said, I've got so many things that I want to show you and teach you, but now's not the right time for that. But later, when the Spirit of truth has come, and again, that's the Holy Spirit, when he has come, he's going to open up your understanding, and he's going to show you things and teach you things that we don't have time to deal with right now. I want to say this before I go through the list of what's mentioned here in this passage. The things that the Holy Spirit has to teach you and me will take a lifetime to learn. It's not going to happen in a weekend. It's not going to happen in a Sunday service. It's going to take a lifetime to learn all those things. So let me encourage all of us here today to make sure that you are doing your best to always be teachable. God the Holy Spirit is with you all the time. Not just when you're in church, not just when you're reading your Bible, but all the time. And he is going to use, I hope you'll catch this term, it's a parental term, by the way, raising our children, but God does it with us as well. God the Holy Spirit is always on the lookout for teachable moments in your life and mine. And so, again, not just when you're in church, not just when you're sitting reading your Bible, but all the time, be teachable, allowing the Holy Spirit to minister to you and to teach you things that he wants to teach you. Notice, if you will, please, verse number 12 seems to suggest to us here that we cannot understand spiritual things without the help of the Holy Spirit. You notice verse 12, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Ye cannot bear them now. These disciples had not yet received the Holy Spirit of God. That would happen a little bit later in John's Gospel, where Jesus would, remember this, breathe on them and say, receive ye the Holy Ghost. They would receive the Holy Spirit a little bit later, and so Jesus is saying to them right here, you cannot bear them now. I could tell you some things, but you would never remember them, and you wouldn't learn them, and you wouldn't grasp them, and you wouldn't understand them. But a little while, the Holy Spirit will come, and he will help you to understand and to learn those kinds of things. So please understand this, that we cannot understand spiritual things without the help of the Holy Spirit of God. By the way, that's why it's important for me to pray before the service that God the Holy Spirit will help in our services, help me to deliver it right and help you to hear it right and so forth. But that's why it's also important for you to pray and ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, help me to be teachable this morning when I'm in church. Pastor's studied. He's worked on this. He's prayed over this. He's got something for us. Please, Lord, don't let me miss it. Help me to receive it. Help me to hear it. Help me to understand it. And help me to learn it. We cannot understand spiritual things without his help. According to verse 13, he is responsible, the Holy Spirit is responsible to guide us into all truth. It says in verse 13, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Anybody remember what the word all means? All means all, and that's all means, right? I mean, it's everything. When our Lord said, he will teach you or guide you into all truth, it means exactly that. All truth. By the way, from cover to cover, all truth. Well, we're New Testament Christians, Pastor. I don't know that we need to study the Old Testament. You especially need to study the Old Testament, if that's what you think. Yes, there are a lot of things in the Old Testament that are good for us to learn and to learn from. The Bible says that all this was written down for our admonition and our learning. All of it. So there are things in the Old Testament for us to learn. But when he says all truth, he doesn't just mean what's between these two covers, but all truth means all truth. You know who the author of all truth is? God. God. You know why 2 and 2 is 4? Because God said so. Now I realize modern math may not want us to believe that 2 and 2 is 4, but in my book, it'll always be 4. I don't care what they say. You know, I've helped young people learning new math and try to get them to understand how simple it was in my day to figure out a problem, and I'll show it to them and just, you know, lickety-split, you got the answer. Yeah, but Pastor, that's not what the teacher taught us, and that we're supposed to go this step, this step, this step, this step. I don't know what you think, but I think to myself, I like the easy way better. 2 plus 2 is 4. We don't need all that other stuff. 2 plus 2 is 4. Memorizing, you know, addition tables, subtraction tables, multiplication, division, all those things, that's good for us. But see, all truth. The sun rises in the east and sets in the west. Who said so? God did. There'll be spring, summer, fall, winter. Who said that has to be that way? God did. All truth. God is the author of all truth. By the way, you know who the author of the lies are? Satan. That's right. Satan is the author of all lies. But the Bible says here that the Spirit of God will guide us into all truth. I'll talk about that later as well in this message today. In verse 13, it also says that he'll show us things to come. Verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. Things to come. Things about the future. Some of you remember, because you were here, we took 40 weeks, 40 Sunday nights to teach about prophecy. Prophecy is the future. It's what's coming, based on what the Bible says. Okay? Looking at some of the prophecies that are in the book of Revelation and Zechariah and, you know, Ezekiel and Daniel and some of the other books that have to do with prophecy. I told you then, and I'll tell you again this morning, at least one third of the Bible, and especially the New Testament, it's prophecy. So people that don't want to study prophecy, they're missing out on a huge portion of God's Word. We took 40 Sunday nights to do that together. Now wait, who was our helper? The Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God will teach you and show you things to come. Future things. You look at the Word of God, you see what the Word of God says. By the way, I don't know if you believe this or not, but I do. I think we're right on the cusp of the Lord's return. I think anybody that might be in the audience or hearing my voice by a recording, if you're not saved, you need to get saved now. Because I think our Lord is coming back very soon. And anybody who's not saved when our Lord comes back, you'll be left behind. And all of us will be gone. We're going to heaven. The Bible says God's going to take us there. He's going to come back and get us and take us home to heaven. And everybody else that's not saved, they're going to be left behind. That wouldn't be a good place to be, because what happens next is horrible. The tribulation time? You don't want to be here for that. If you're here this morning and you're hearing my voice and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you should talk to me afterwards. I'd be glad to explain it to you and make it very clear and very, very simple. And you can receive Jesus as your personal Savior this morning before you leave. By the way, you don't even have to be a Baptist. People are shocked when they hear me say that, but you don't have to be a Baptist to go to heaven. But you do have to have Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That's the one requirement that everybody needs. You have to know Jesus as your personal Savior. Anyway, guide you into all truth. That's the future, and that's what's coming. And our Lord is coming for us, and the Bible warns us about this and tells us about this. And by the way, warns us to get ready. And I'm warning us to get ready, all of us. But the Holy Spirit will show us things to come. Notice also in verse 14 of this little passage we've looked at, he'll show us things concerning Jesus. Verse 14 says, he shall glorify me. You notice in verse 13 it says he will not speak of himself. Verse 14 says he will glorify me, so he will speak about Jesus. One of the reasons why we have the Holy Spirit of God is to show us Christ, to show us Jesus, to teach us about him. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. So we cannot understand spiritual things without the help of the Holy Spirit. He's responsible to guide us into all truth. He'll show us things to come. He'll show us things concerning Jesus. And I guess I already touched on it, but verse 14 mentions here that he'll glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. I think this is also true. If the Holy Spirit is active in your life and mine, then our life will also glorify Jesus Christ. Because you know what, friend? We're here for him. We're not here for us. We're here for the Lord Jesus Christ and for his honor and his glory. Notice again, the Bible says he'll teach us and guide us into all truth. So not only will he teach us primarily spiritual truth, but he also teaches us other truth as well. Because all truth comes from God. Anything that's true comes from God. And you and I need to learn to ask God to teach us and guide us into all truth. Here's another area. I'm just going to touch on it and then go on to my next point. If God the Holy Spirit is active in my life, I should be a man or a woman of truth. Not lies, not deception, but truth. Because that's what the Holy Spirit does. He guides us into all truth. Not just knowing it, but living it. All right, so number one is his ministry of teaching. We're talking this morning about ministries of the Holy Spirit to the believer. Again, number one, his ministry of teaching. Number two, his ministry of guiding. His ministry of guiding. Would you look with me at the book of Romans chapter 8? Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. We are going to look at some other passages. The good news is they're all in Romans. All right? So you won't have to leave the book of Romans after this. Romans 8, verse 14 says this, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Look at it again. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Now, I'm going to take the same verse, and I'm going to show you something else. And I'm going to start at the end and go back to the beginning. For as many as are led, I'm sorry, for as many as are the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Both things are taught in this verse. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For as many as are the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. So I want you to see here, secondly, his ministry of guiding. Guiding. The Holy Spirit guides us, first of all, in spiritual matters. He guides us in spiritual matters. And I'm not going to do it. I probably should. But I won't. Come down from here, grab my wife by the hand, lead her around the auditorium, go out that door, come back in, go out that door, come back in, lead her, and then bring her all the way back and let her sit down. This is the idea of being led, okay? That would be me leading my wife. Well, think about the Holy Spirit of God leading us or guiding us. He guides us in spiritual matters. In all of our decisions about spiritual matters, God the Holy Spirit will guide us. You may agree with me, you may not, but I believe with all my heart, God the Holy Spirit knows what church you should be a part of. Some people believe it doesn't really matter what church you go to as long as you go to church. That's not true. Because not all churches teach the truth. You can't just pick one willy-nilly and think you're all right with God. But God, the Holy Spirit, knows what church you should be a part of. So I would suggest, ask Him. Ask Him to lead you. Ask Him to guide you. I don't know what you think. I'm kind of glad He led me here. There's a couple of folks that agree with it. Obviously, most of you don't. That's fine. I believe God led me here, so tough on you. Notice the smile. I'm just teasing with you. Having fun. But I mean this sincerely. I am glad God led me here. There are days, of course, where we talked about this some. I'm pointing at Jerry. We talked about this some in the adult Sunday school class this morning about Elijah being, drained of strength and needs nourishment and encouragement and comfort and rest and all that kind of stuff. And, how come he fled from Jezebel when he didn't flee from the prophets of Baal and all that? He was worn out. He was just wasted of strength. He was just worn down. And I was thinking about this, Jerry, when you were talking, given your viewpoint on it this morning in the Sunday school class. You know one of the worst days for pastors? Mondays. Surveys prove that most pastors who resign on Mondays. It's true. You know why? Because their people didn't do their homework during the week. Notice the smile. The homework was, by the way, to go home and get your church directory out and call somebody who wasn't in church, Tell them you missed them. But seriously, most pastors that resign on Monday morning. And I think that's because the devil, after perhaps a great Sunday or maybe not a great Sunday, but the devil, because it's hard for folks to understand this, but like for us, Sunday school, I'm the teacher. Sunday morning, I'm the preacher and the song leader. Sunday night, I'm the song leader and the preacher. I'm thankful for the ushers, because at least I don't have to do that. I'm thankful for the pianist, because at least I don't have to do that. Apparently, I do have to do all the calling, but please don't forget the smile. I'm just having fun with you this morning. I love you folks, and I'm glad you let me do this. But Sundays are really draining. Now, if you stand up there and it's just like, open your Bible to John chapter 5, verse 6, and the Bible says here, if you don't really put your energy and yourself into it, then maybe it doesn't wear you out. But if you speak and if you preach and if you teach like I do, I get animated, I get excited, I get myself involved, and I'm pouring my energy into it. And so, Sunday night and especially Monday mornings, it's like, wow, I'm really drained. And the devil knows that. And so the devil comes and he whispers different things in your ear. And I know he does that to you sometimes too, but Mondays can be bad for pastors, preachers and so forth. And that, I don't know if the day after the great, heroic things that happened on Mount Moriah, I don't know if the next day was a Monday or not, but Elijah was drained and he was spent and he was, wasted of energy, and boy, the devil was after him, and he was ready to die, okay? And I've never experienced everything that Elijah did, and I probably never will, but I know what it feels like sometimes when you feel like maybe God's done, maybe it's time to give it up, maybe it's time to just cash it all in, maybe it's time to, just sit down under a juniper tree and wish to die like Elijah did, But God, the Holy Spirit, guides us in spiritual matters. So when we're making spiritual decisions, we need to listen to the Holy Spirit of God and let Him guide us. And here's why I bring up that thing about Mondays, because the Holy Spirit, just like in what we're looking at there in 1 Kings, God didn't want Elijah to quit. Elijah was ready to quit, but you remember the Bible says God sent an angel to him to help him and comfort him and you know, give him nourishment and all that kind of stuff. And God will come to me sometimes and encourage me. And if you allow him to, God will come to you and encourage you, because he doesn't want us to quit yet. As long as we're breathing, there's still work for us to do and things he wants us to do. So, yeah, there are times when it's, you know, disheartening and discouraging, and maybe you want to just cash it all in and give up. But the Holy Spirit of God comes. This is why I love him so much, to encourage us and put his arm around us and say, you know what, it's not as bad as you think it is. Sometimes he even says this, it's not as good as you think it is. Especially after a big day, you know. But I love the Holy Spirit for his help to guide us and help us with our spiritual decisions. God will show you, by the way, which church to be a part of. And I hope you believe me when I tell you that God led me here, and hopefully God led you here as well. God, the Holy Spirit will show you how to serve within that church, how to be active, how to help out, how to do your homework, how to, you know, do the things that God would want you to do to be a help. You know, if we all just sit and do nothing, not much will happen. But if we all get in there and play our part, great things can happen. By the way, didn't you enjoy Debbie's offertory today? Do you really think that she just picked up a piano book and just played that? Just like first time she saw it was this morning, and she just played it so beautifully? I bet she practiced and practiced and practiced and practiced. What do you think, Tom? You get to hear all that beautiful music throughout the week, and that's, I'm sure, wonderful. And I can say this because I know this, because I have a daughter. My oldest daughter is a piano player. And for years and years, me being in the ministry, we'd come to the church and we did homeschool with our kids in the basement. And whenever they had recess or any break, April would be up on the piano playing the piano. And sometimes the organ. That was her heart's desire. And that's still her heart's desire. She loves to play the piano. They're going to come, Lord willing, sometime soon. And maybe when they do, we can get her to play something for us, and maybe, oh, I wish, you wait, some of you who know my family a little bit, you wait till you see Braden, their youngest son. He's a graduate now of high school, graduating this year, and we just saw some of his senior pictures. I can't believe that's that little boy that I first met, little Braden. Now, of course, he's a full-grown young man. And we told him, we're so proud of you. He's got a heart for God. He wants to do God's will for his life. And I'm really so happy for him, the way he's turned out. And of course, Alex as well. But anyway, I don't get off on that. But you'll see when they, hopefully, they'll come to visit soon and you'll be able to see him. But anyway, the Holy Spirit guiding us and guiding us into what church to be a part of and what ministries to be a part of, and how to invite others to come, and, you know, just our understanding of God's Word and our understanding of our Bible reading. We have questions as we read the Bible, don't we? Anybody here have questions as you read the Bible? Oh, look at that. There's hands all over. Some of you who didn't raise your hand, I'm going to come to you and ask you some of my questions, because I'm still at the point where I have questions and I need answers. And, you know, I've looked, and, you know, it always amazes me. I've told you this before, I know, but I have several different sets of commentaries, and the hardest passages in the Bible, nearly every commentator will skip the hardest passages in the Bible. And I remember saying to myself many times, these guys are lame. Lame. You're supposed to have the answers for me. So I guess I'll just skip it too. They're a lot more educated than me, and if they skipped it, how in the world could I ever have the answer? But you know what I'm saying. When you have questions, ask the Holy Spirit. The vast majority of them, I think there's some things we won't know till we get to glory. But the vast majority of them, the Holy Spirit will show you. He'll teach you. And sometimes it's wait till later. Sometimes it's right now. But the Holy Spirit will guide you in spiritual matters and help you with your Bible reading and to understand the preaching and to understand the weekly church services. And by the way, the Holy Spirit will even guide you as you pray. He'll guide you as you pray. I've got some things that are personal to me that I've been praying about recently, and I love to be able to sense the Holy Spirit helping me as I pray about those things. He'll guide us in spiritual things, but he'll also guide us in other physical matters. Like, where should I work? What home should I have? This is important. How should I behave at work? Does it matter how we behave at work? You know what it does for me? I think it does for all of us. Our decisions as to where we should live, what home we should have, our choice of a mate for life, decisions concerning financial things. God the Holy Spirit will guide us in all those things if we will listen for that still small voice and allow him to teach us and guide us. So his ministry of teaching, his ministry of guiding, I'd like to show you another one, and that is his ministry of assurance. We're in Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 16. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That's pretty clear, isn't it? The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I want you to understand something here about the word itself. Why doesn't it say himself? Because he's a person. Why doesn't it say himself? Because the word spirit is a neuter word in the Greek language. And the translators of the King James Bible tried to keep with the proper language, as far as translating it. And if it's a neuter word, well, it gets translated in a neuter way. If it was a male word, it would be translated him. But the spirit, the word spirit, pneuma, is a neuter word. So it's translated here itself. So understand, that doesn't mean he's a force, because we've already shown you in one of the messages that he's a person. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Let me ask you this. Do you know for sure that you're saved? I would say this. If you are truly saved, you'll know it. Watch. Watch this. Sarah. Are you married?
Yes.
Notice how quickly she said yes. Whew. I'm really glad for that. I'm glad she didn't say, I think so. I'm glad she didn't say, I hope so. I'm glad she didn't say, well, most of the time. Now think about that in relationship to salvation. If you're truly saved, the Holy Spirit lives within. And if the Holy Spirit lives within, aren't you going to know that? Yes. Because, as this verse says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Friend, if you don't have that living witness within, that's a bad sign. That's a bad sign. It's just like the marriage relationship. I mean, Sarah and I stood before a Baptist preacher and we pledged to each other that we would stay with each other, you know, for the rest of our lives, till death us do part. And we haven't broken that vow, and we don't plan to break that vow, ever.
Amen.
It's the same thing with salvation. When you take Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, you become his bride, and he is your spiritual groom. And you are together now forever and ever and ever. By the way, not just till death us do part, but even beyond that. It's forever. And if you have that, you know that. Because he gives you assurance. He gives us assurance of our salvation. He gives us assurance of sins forgiven, both past and present. He gives us assurance of sins forgiven. He gives us assurance of service within the will of God. Pastor, how do you know that you're where you're supposed to be? The Spirit of God makes it clear. You might not want to know this, but I asked him even this morning. You were going to get Darlene. I was here on my knees at this altar, and I was asking God for his blessing upon our services today and the meal and the business meeting and those kind of things. But I also said this, and I include this in a lot of my prayers, not all of them, but in a lot of them. Lord, is there ever anywhere else that you want me to be? Please show me. If there's ever anything else you want me to do, please show me. And give me the courage to follow through with it. Say, why do you do that? I want to be in His will. I want to be in His will. Now, you know what? You may or may not like this. He hasn't told me to go anywhere. So just like when I was in the army, you don't move until you get a new set of orders. I'm staying put. Until He tells me to go somewhere else, you're stuck with me. Sorry. Take it up with my boss. I'm checking out the audience. Just want to see where my supporters are. And I think I've narrowed it down to both of them. Notice the smile. His ministry of assurance. He gives us assurance of our salvation, of sins forgiven, of service within the will of God. The Holy Spirit gives us assurance of Jesus' soon return. Don't you know He's coming soon? I mean, just don't you know it in your heart? He's coming soon. He gives us assurance of a secure future with Jesus. My sister Julie is so very close to leaving this earth and going to heaven. And the last time that we had discussion with her, talked with her, she is so anxious to go. She's very close, very near the end. Anytime the phone rings recently, I'm expecting her husband Jim to call and say, she's gone. And it'll be just like with all of us when we lose a loved one. You're happy for them, but you're sad for us. And so, like you and I talked about, Sarah, you think you're ready, but you're really not ready. And by the way, just put this out for good measure. Friday was the funeral service for Dr. Marty Marriott, who for many years was the president at Maranatha. In the last few years, the chancellor. The present president, Dr. David Anderson, was a part of the service. And later that day, same day, Friday, later that day, his mother passed away. Yes, she was a pastor's wife to Rod Anderson in Fort Atkinson for many years. Dr. Rod Anderson is still alive, but his wife passed away, so it'd be Dr. David Anderson's mother. And first thing I said to Sarah, I said, what a burden. What a burden to have to bear. You take part of your friend and, you know, previous president of Maranatha, you take part in that service, and then that afternoon your mama dies. That's a heavy burden. And then, as it does with Facebook, you know how this works. Coming up in my memories was 6 years ago, on Friday, I'm sorry, 6 years ago, was when we buried my mom. And because it was COVID, we couldn't have a regular service. We just had Fred, my brother Fred, who's a pastor, and my brother Mike, who's a pastor, and myself, at the grave doing a graveside service. Very short. But God, the Holy Spirit, gives us assurance of a secure future with Jesus. I'm glad this world is not all there is, aren't you? I'm glad we have a better future to look forward to. I've got one more thought I want to deal with today. It's in chapter 8 of Romans, so you don't have to go very far. But look at verse 26. Verse 26. And I won't take long on this one because our time is about gone. The Bible says in verse 26 of Romans 8, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. What this verse reminds us of is His ministry of prayer. His ministry of prayer. We're talking this morning about ministries of the Holy Spirit to the believer. First is His ministry of teaching, then His ministry of guiding, then His ministry of assurance, And then finally, his ministry of prayer. I want you to know that the Holy Spirit of God will teach us, catch this now, to pray. Will teach us to pray. Remember the disciples coming to the Lord Jesus after they heard him pray, and they said to Jesus, "Master, teach us to pray. Not just the how to, but to do it." I got to admit to you, I'm not a great prayer. I pray more than I used to, okay? I've gotten better at it, but I could really get a lot better at it. The Holy Spirit will teach us to pray. Secondly, he also teaches us how to pray. If we'll listen, the Holy Spirit will guide us in our prayer life. Then he teaches us not only to pray, how to pray, he teaches us to persevere in prayer. You ever pray about something and didn't get an answer? You may have prayed about it, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 20 times, didn't get an answer and then gave up. God, the Holy Spirit, will teach us to persevere. How long should I pray? Pray till you get an answer. Pray till you get an answer. Sometimes God might say no. And if he says no, then stop praying. But if he says wait, or if he says, you know, keep on praying, then keep on praying. Persevere. He prays along with us. And God, the Holy Spirit, also prays for us, according to this verse. So his ministry of teaching, his ministry of guiding, his ministry of assurance, his ministry of prayer, these are just four that I came up with real quickly this week. And I hope that through this whole study, we all realize anew and afresh how very special this person called the Holy Spirit is. Friend, he's there to be your friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's there to walk with you through life. He's there to help you through life. He's there to guide you through life, teach you through life, comfort you through life. I mean, there's a lot of things that I could have brought into this, like comfort. The Holy Spirit is there to help you. I mean this in the right way, and I hope you'll take it in the right way. He's there to help you, so use him. Use him. Would you stand with me, please? Heads bowed and eyes closed. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you on behalf of this congregation for the Holy Spirit. What a precious friend he is. Thank you that he came to indwell us at the moment of salvation. Thank you that he never ever leaves. Thank you for his tireless work to make us more and more like Christ. Thank you for all the good changes he's already made in us. Lord, I apologize for the stubbornness that we have sometimes, the resistance, sometimes just not listening and hearing what you're trying to say to us. Please forgive us for all those areas. But may we be teachable, and may we be moldable in your hands. Have your will and way to be done in this invitation and every day of the rest of our lives, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.